You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast, The Evolution of Demodex Blepharitis Management. I'm Cecilia Ketting, Assistant Professor at the University of Colorado School of Medicine in Denver, Colorado. I'm joined today by my colleague, Dr. Walt Whitley, Director of Professional Relations and Education at Virginia Eye Consultants and Regional Medical Director of Mid-Atlantic Eye Care Partners in Norfolk, Virginia. In this episode, Moving Beyond Lid Hygiene, Targeted Approaches in Demodex Blepharitis, we'll explore the evolving understanding of Demodex blepharitis, how to detect and differentiate early, and the latest treatment approaches in clinical practice. Hi, Walt. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Cecilia?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be having this conversation with you.
Another conversation.
I know.
On Demodex.
Yes.
Just like the things we love.
So I've got some questions for you, and I know that I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Could you describe the typical clinical presentation of Demodex blepharitis and maybe how you differentiate it from other causes of blepharitis?
Yeah, it's stuff on the eye. And essentially, whether it's crusty, goopy, if it looks like dandruff, if it's more slimy looking on the glands, I mean, we always have to take a look at the lids and the lashes for our patients. When it comes to the presentation of blepharitis, you know, there's various forms. Traditionally, it's always been staph. If we see the crustiness, if we see some greasiness, we're thinking more seborrheic. You know, other things we used to call it is anterior blepharitis, where there's stuff on the lashes, or posterior blepharitis, if we see cap meibomian glands with inflammation. But there's different versions of blepharitis. But what we're learning now is the importance of the lid and just looking at the debris. There's various reasons why patients have the inflammation of the lashes, the inflammation of the lids. And so one of the things that we're learning more and more about is Demodex. And so this is something we've heard about for years, but you know, it hasn't really come to the forefront because we've had treatment options that were somewhat effective, but were they really effective?
Right. So that being said, right, we're identifying it more. How prevalent do you really think that Demodex blepharitis is? And why do you think so many of our patients are actually getting misdiagnosed at this point?
Well, I think one of the reasons is many of us aren't looking, and I'm guilty of that. I'm sure you've been guilty of that as well, is we love the cornea, we love the lens, we love the nerve and the retina, but we always have to take a step back and look at the lids. As you know, I have a ocular surface disease clinic and a lot of dry eye. And, you know, one of the things that I learned is you can treat dry eye, but if you're ignoring those lids, those patients will be very symptomatic. And so once you have those patients look down, you'll notice like a lot of patients have Demodex blepharitis. And I was a part of a study. There were six centers where we looked at 100 consecutive patients. And we wanted to see how many of those patients had cylindrical dandruff or collarettes. And, you know, out of that study, it was about 58%. And so that was my aha moment, because once I started looking, it seemed like everybody had it. What about you?
Yeah. No. Yes, absolutely. Once you start seeing it, you can't unsee it. And then you just see it everywhere. And that's, you know, you said the magic word, right? Collarettes. This is the thing that we at this point are talking about as far as for Demodex. How reliable is it to say that collarettes are pathognomonic for Demodex?
Well, I never used to do this, but a lot of our colleagues did is they pull the lash. You see a collarette on the lash. You pull the lash, you put it under a microscope, and you put a little drop of oil-based tear, and you can show it to your patients, these little critters that are these little ectoparasites that have been that are crawling on the slide. But there's a study from Gao, and these patients had blepharitis, and if they had a collarette on lid scrubs, they pulled it and put it on the microscope, and it was confirmed to be Demodex. There was another set of patients that were on lid scrubs, but that did not have collarettes. So they had a history of blepharitis. They pulled the lash, put it in the microscope. 50% had had Demodex. And then the last patients were no lid scrubs, no collarettes. You pulled it. Even 7% of those patients had Demodex. So it's there, but we're still learning, you know, what is that tipping point? Where do we need to address those patients?
So what I'm hearing you say is that, yes, collarettes are an indication of Demodex blepharitis and that there's a Demodex issue. But even in some patients where we don't see collarettes, we're going to have the Demodex. It's just at what point is it a problem?
Correct.
Okay. So going on to treatment, right? You talked a little bit about this and how we've kind of been running our heads into the wall with some previous treatments, and years of lid hygiene, tea tree oil have kind of been the standard. Why are these approaches really just kind of failing long term?
Well, one of the reasons is it doesn't kill, it doesn't eradicate the mites, and that's the issue. And so the traditional treatments, I mean, you say lid hygiene. What does that even mean? I mean, everybody has a different form of lid hygiene, so that's one issue. So there's some confusion there. And, you know, what are we telling those patients? Are we giving them a specific recommendation on the wipe, right? You say get a lid wipe. There's a million of them, just like there's a million eye drops or artificial tears that are over the counter. Compliance, you know, even if we tell them the right lid wipe, let's say with tea tree oil, diluted tea tree oil, they scrub their lashes, but if they have 3+ blepharitis, you give them scrubs. You say, come back in 3 weeks. It's still 3+ blepharitis because are they scrubbing hard enough?
Did anyone teach them how to clean them?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I've absolutely had those patients.
Yeah. And then, you know, that just other versions of tea tree oil, if it's not diluted, the one of the ones that many of us were using, it really stung and patients wouldn't do it, even though we said, hey, you know, you still got to do it because this is the only way to get rid of the Demodex. But because of the sensation it made patients feel, many practitioners, many patients went away from it.
Now, I personally do still talk to all my patients about lid hygiene because it is important, right? But I am specific in what I'm talking about. And I kind of view it, and I want to hear your opinion, I kind of view it on the controlling the food source or controlling some of the inflammation in the area. While maybe it doesn't eradicate the Demodex, I think it partners well with other treatments to kind of help. So how does the shift from generalized lid hygiene to novel therapeutics change the treatment paradigm for Demodex blepharitis?
We have a treatment that's been FDA studied for efficacy and safety that does kill and eradicate the mites. And we're going to talk about those studies here shortly. But we've never had something that's simple to use. Well, we have to identify it first. But once you see those collarettes, once you diagnose Demodex blepharitis, we have treatments such as lotilaner that we can prescribe for our patient and confidently prescribe because we know it does work for our patients.
I would agree. And I really feel like I've actually seen that play out. We've had almost 2 years of being able to use this drop, and it's worked very, very well for patients. So can you walk us through, since this is still pretty new and some of our colleagues haven't had a chance to use it, can you review maybe a little bit of the safety and efficacy data on lotilaner?
Oh, you bet, because it's important. You know, anything we do in eye care, it's important for us to know the studies, you know, what was being tested. And so the primary endpoint for these studies were patients that had collarette reduction less than 2. And that was a primary endpoint in the study. The secondary endpoint was going to be mite eradication. And then thirdly, there was a evaluation on lid erythema is what they were looking at. And so I'll just talk about the pooled analysis more than anything else, because there's so many different data points that we can go over.
The nice thing is they're all consistent between all the studies, right?
Yeah, definitely. They're all consistent. If we look at collarette reduction in the combined studies, about 50% of patients went from about 100 collarettes. That's the thing. In the clinical studies, patients had grade 3 Demodex blepharitis. And so they went from over 100 to less than 2. And that was about 50% of patients that were on the treatment versus about 10% that were on the vehicle. If we look at mite eradication, so pulling the lash, put it under the microscope, are there mites present? And what they found for 0 mites per lash, it was about 60% versus about 16%. So a statistically significant difference there. If we look at erythema, so say what have we had in the past that has an endpoint for lid redness, and we haven't had one, and now patients, it was 25% to about 8% for patients on lid erythema to address the patients. So there's efficacy. So that's great. But I think the one that stands out to me the most is those patients in the study that were over 100 collarettes that went to less than 10 collarettes. And that was about 85% of those patients. So that's the biggest call out that I've seen for our patients. As for safety, I mean, any of the adverse events that were mild or moderate in the Saturn trials, the most common ocular adverse reaction was installation site stinging and burning, and that was reported in about 10% of patients. So what does that mean? 90% tolerated or said it felt just fine. And then other ocular reactions was less than 2% of patients with chalazia, hordeola, as well as punctate keratitis. So those were the clinical studies, and that's how it got approved through the FDA.
Yep. So we know that it works. We know that it's well tolerated. Again, echoing that, you know, what we're seeing in clinic. And I go back to that statistic that you said about 10 collarettes or fewer. And that is so clinically meaningful because I don't know, Walt, are you going to sit there and count 2 collarettes on all those lashes?
No.
Yeah, I don't have that time. No, it's not going to happen. So how can, now, you know, we've talked about this, how can clinicians optimize adherence and patient acceptance of these newer treatments? What are you finding yourself doing in clinic?
I think one of the biggest things I do, it's going to be patient education, all right? Whether you have a slit lamp camera, mine is broken right now. And so I have that World Wide Web and I just Googled Demodex blepharitis. And so I have a picture of collarettes and I tell patients, hey, this is what I'm seeing on your eyes. You have Demodex blepharitis, it's bacteria, it's mites on the eyelid and something that we need to address. This is what it looks like. I'm going to prescribe a drop for you. It's twice a day for 6 weeks. And then what I'm going to do as well is see you back in 6 to 8 weeks to make sure that you're doing better.
Nope, that's perfect. It's very similar to what I do. I use my cell phone. I hold it up to the optics. I'll take a picture. I'll show it to the patients and say, yep, this is what we got, right? Anything that you've found, do you use the word mites with your patients?
I do. Oh, you got it.
I do.
You got it. And, you know, I was in a meeting or some market research and patients, they like the word mites. Whether we think we like it or not, patients, it makes sense to them if they know and are aware of what's going on in their eyes. You know, we didn't even talk about symptoms.
No.
Right? Itching.
Yes.
Typically we hear itching and we're thinking allergies. It's more likely going to be Demodex. And if it's itching along the eyelids, we have to look for those collarettes and consider Demodex blepharitis for our patients.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dr. Whitley, for sharing your expertise on how to recognize Demodex blepharitis early and why we need to move beyond approaches to better manage this very common condition. And thank you to our audience for joining us today. In our next episode, we'll build on this foundation by discussing treatment sequencing and how to approach Demodex blepharitis in a more complex patient scenarios. This podcast was brought to you by Med Learning Group, who in support of improving patient care is jointly accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education, and the American Nurses Credentialing Center to provide education for the healthcare system. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thanks to our supporters, Tarsus Pharmaceuticals Incorporated, who provided an independent medical education grant for this activity.